Good evening. Good evening once again as we study the book of Zechariah. I apologize for the first recording of this message, which was done on Wednesday. There was a small wire broken inside the speaker, and a lot of people were attempting to listen to it, but there was nothing there. So we erased it, and we hope you'll try it again. Book of Zechariah. We're going to be in the very early part of chapter 1 tonight. We've looked at the past at kind of an overview of this book. We've looked last week at that wonderful name that we find so often in this book, and that's the Lord of Hosts, the Lord Almighty, the Lord of Armies. And we mentioned at that time that wonderful passage of Nebuchadnezzar when he described the God of heaven as it was given to him by God himself. And tonight we'd like to look at verse 4. And particularly in this verse, we'd like to look at the word turning and hearing and hearkening. In this verse of scripture, it shares with us, "Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord." First of all, in that verse of scripture, we have the word turn. They did not turn. And the Lord called on them to turn, and yet they did not turn. Turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear. If you would join me in the book of Isaiah for a short reading, Isaiah chapter 9. In Isaiah chapter 9, we have this word used, and we look at it and understand it that if we're ever going to be turned, we must be turned by someone bigger than us, greater than us, higher than us. Here in the book of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 12, it says, "The Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts." Now what a commentary upon natural man and a commentary upon Israel here. If we look at Israel, we find out that they have been treated with the best possible blesser of all. That's God Almighty. And he uses them as a type and as a picture. If God does this so much for the nation of Israel, and they don't turn, what do we have? What opportunity do we have? I will use the word, what chance do we have? Well, we have none. But yet we find out that there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. We're all under sin. We all fell in Adam. And here is the thought here about that we just turn not. We are unable to do that very thing. God requires it. God demands it. And yet we're stuck in the mud and we can't turn. And no one can turn us. Would you turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17? Jeremiah chapter 17 brings up this idea of not just turning, but also healing. Jeremiah chapter 17, and there in verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 14. "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise." Now, what a wonderful passage of scripture here. If we're ever going to be healed, he has to do it. If we're ever going to be saved, he has to do it. And join me here in the book of Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, as we think about this, all of this request that God puts, all these demands that God puts out, it's an impossibility for anybody that is born of the family of Adam to ever hear those words. We're going to get into that in just a moment in this verse of Scripture. But we have the inability of hearing God's Word. He's speaking in a language that is not, we're not able to comprehend. He's speaking in a spiritual language, and we're fixed among humanity. We can't reach out of that realm. We can't step out of that realm. In fact, the Lord says we must be born again. We must be born from above. We must be born out of this realm. I don't know how many of you have ever gone out to your car and you stuck your key in it and the battery is dead. The engine won't even... Well, we have to do something to that battery. The battery is not going to charge itself. It's not going to come alive itself. We either have to hook up jumper cables or we have to put it on some type of charger, but we have to reach from the outside to put it on the inside of that battery. And thus it is with us. We are dead in trespasses and sin unless we are charged from out of our own realm. And so here again, we turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 31, and it tells us there in verse 18 these words, I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, Thou hast chastened me, and I was chastened as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Now notice these words, Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. The only way we can ever be turned. Now we can look at Israel as we go through the Old Testament and the challenges that the prophets brought to them, and yet they're stuck, they're unable to turn, and the only ones that ever turn are the ones that God turned, and in turning, they recognize God as the Lord of hosts, that He is the God Almighty. Look with me in the next book of Jeremiah, the book of Lamentations. The Lamentations of Jeremiah chapter 5. Lamentations of Jeremiah chapter 5. And there in verse 21, Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Turn thou us unto thee. The prophet Jeremiah, as he's lamenting the position of Israel in his day, he just recognizes that if there's any hope at all, if there's ever any hope at all, they must be turned by the Lord. So in our verse there in the book of Zechariah, be not as our fathers unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways. Turn. And then we find out, if the Lord be pleased, if the Lord demonstrates grace, if the Lord loves that people. You know, it was brought to my attention the other day, there is absolutely nowhere in all the Scripture where a prophet stood out in the middle of anywhere with a whole host of people and said, God loves you. Never do we have that. And yet it is so prominent today. Now, God loves the people. He loves the people that are spoken of under the term of Jacob have I loved. And he will do everything necessary, every requirement that is God imposes. I demand that you turn, then he'll provide the turning. I demand that you believe, he will provide the believing. I demand that you come, he'll provide the coming. Everything that God demands, he provides, and his people will enjoy. Well, as we look a little further into that verse of Scripture there in the book of Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, Turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. Now here's the problem that's listed there. But they did not hear. Now, we have nor hearken. Now, I learned in math that two negatives make a positive, but in Scripture that doesn't work. In spiritual things that doesn't work. They were double negatives. They did not hearken. They did not hear, did not hearken. They were unable to do this. Now, I would like to look up that word hear there, the first time that it's used. It's not used in so much the negative as did not hear, but I would like to look up that word specifically, what we find in the Scriptures about this word. Would you turn with me to the book of Genesis? Genesis chapter 3. so much about our own being, about what is going on in us and in those around us, is found here in the book of Genesis. It's the book of beginnings. And this is just after Adam sinned. Now, I want to point out once again, and we mention this from time to time, that when Eve sinned, when she beheld that fruit, now, I don't even know whether to call it that or not, because when she ate that fruit, nothing happened. She was not the responsible party. Adam was the responsible party. He's the representative. Just as we find that Christ is the representative for the church, not the church for the church, but Christ is the representative for the church. He is the one that represents. And we find that it wasn't Eve that represented the human race. It was Adam that represented the human race. It is the first Adam, all fell, all sinned, all died. The second Adam, all that he represents, shall be made alive. So we look here in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, and it tells us about Adam and Eve. The eyes of them both, verse 7, were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now upon Adam's eating of that fruit, the eyes of them both were open. And then in verse 8, and they heard. Now that's the same word that we find over in Zechariah chapter 1. And there in verse 4, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Now, that takes some special ears. God had given them the ability prior to the fall of knowing that the Lord was coming to visit, and he's not ceasing to do that. Now, he's not coming down to find out what happened. Oh, my. He knows what happened. And he's known it so well that he's already provided a lamb to take away the sin of his people. He's already provided that, a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And as God, the Lord God, as Jehovah Elohim, as Jehovah God comes down and walks in the garden in the cool of that day, of the eve that day, they heard him. And in verse 11 it says, and he said, who hath told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten the tree whereof thou commanded thee, and shouldest not eat? The Lord, in speaking to them in this manner, shares with them that he absolutely knows what's going on. He wants them to know what's going on. They did not hear. They did not hearken. They did not hear the first time. The idea that's in this word is they had no hearing there in chapter 1 and verse 4 of the book of Zechariah. Well, for a moment, these folks in the Garden of Eden had a moment where they heard the voice of the Lord. Now, this is going to be gone in moments. Hearing is a wonderful fruit of the presence of God's grace, of regeneration. Not to hear is natural. We are born not hearing. We're born deaf spiritually. We don't have the capabilities of hearing spiritual things. The Holy Spirit reveals spiritual things, but we'll never come to the conclusion of spiritual things on our own. In fact, it is brought up in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, who hath believed our report? And belief is based upon hearing. Who hath heard our report and believed it? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Is what Isaiah brings up. What a blessing it is to hear. Who hath believed our report? Something heard. The news, the tidings. Who's believed the report about the Lord Jesus Christ? A dear friend of mine shared with me one time recently that he had a conversation with a dear person in his family, and this dear person says, you don't believe I'm saved. And he says, I know you're not. And she said, how do you know that? And says, well, number one, you've never been a sinner, and number two, you don't believe the report. You don't believe the Word of God. And that's just those two things sew up the difference between saved people and lost people. People who even think they're saved, most of them, you get to visit with them, and they're so proud of themselves, they've never been a sinner, and yet they also don't believe the Word of God. When you bring to them about the gospel and about how God is a God that actually saves and didn't make anybody savable, they rankle up. You know, they must believe the word of God. God tells us that. Too often men hear the words sounding like drums and trumpets outside their walls. An old preacher in England shared this. And they are filled with admiration of the material music, but their city gates fast closed and vigilantly guarded so that the truth has no admittance, but only the sound. You know, it's a tinkling sound. And people guard themselves greatly from hearing the word. So we have to have some outside intervention for us in order for us to hear the blessed word of God. People hear strange things. The Bible tells us this very thing. When things are brought up that are spiritual, people have strange interpretations about what's going on. Here in the book of Matthew, would you turn over there to the book of Matthew? Notice with me in the book of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, the Lord Jesus speaks something from the cross. One of his seven sayings from the cross. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46, he says this. Now this is almost a direct quote from the 22nd Psalm. And if these folks who claim to have known the scriptures as they did, and probably could quote 10 times more than I can quote, and yet they passed over when they heard these words, it says, in about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, the 22nd Psalm, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, they didn't have that interpretation. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit gave it to us as we read this verse of Scripture today. But the notice the very next verse, some of them that stood there when they heard that cry from the cross, when they heard the Lord Jesus cry this from the cross, when he quoted Psalm 22 from the cross, it says, this man calleth for Elias. When they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias, or Elisha. They calling for the Old Testament prophet. Well, he's not doing that. He's declaring the position that he's in. My goodness, when our sin was imputed to him, and God the Father poured out his deepest, vehement wrath upon him in that crucible of the cross, we hear him saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's not crying for help from Elisha. He's not crying for help from anybody. He's sharing with us what he is enduring on that cross. He is enduring the judgment for our sin on that cross. As he was given our sin, as it was placed upon him, and God poured out his wrath upon him, we hear him say that. Now, we have him say seven different things from the cross. The next thing he says, into thy hands I commend my spirit, or it's finished. So the fellowship is restored right here. He's not talking to the Father, he's talking to God. Well, those around him misunderstood, misinterpreted, misquoted what was going on. Would you turn with me to the book of Luke? People hear the strangest things. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 8, Luke chapter 23 and verse 8, we have this passage of Scripture given to us to put us on guard about why and what we've heard about the Lord Jesus. Some only look at him from a fleshly standpoint. They look at him as a dinner ticket. They look at him as a means of getting through this life and paying their bills. It's a social gospel. It's an economic gospel. And here we have Herod saw Jesus. He was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him. Now, my goodness, some of this would just say he's wanting to hear something about the gospel. No, read the rest of it. He hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. My religion is just in that category. They want to see something of the flesh. They want to see something, a miracle. They want to reach in and grab snakes. They want to have all sorts of things happen, but they do not want to actually hear the word of God. It's all physical. It's all in the flesh. And that's what Herod's telling us. People hear the strangest things. Here is the God of glory standing before Herod, and all he could hope for was that somebody would come in that had some kind of problem and Jesus would heal him. And it wouldn't have changed his mind one whit anyway. John chapter 12. Would you look there with me? In John chapter 12, again, people hear the strangest things. When it comes to religion, you can hear anything. I used to have a friend that would say, around this place you can hear anything but meat frying in a fry pan and money jingling in the pocket. Well, in religion, you can literally hear anything. And over here in the book of John, chapter 12, verse 28, it tells us here, John chapter 12 and verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. Then there came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. What a wonderful voice spoke from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. In this passage of Scripture, we have the Father speaking from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. Now, isn't that something? This is how deaf we are when God of heaven speaks to his only beloved Son. We would categorize it as thunder or some spiritual being speaking to him. There's more said about angels by religion than there is about the Lord Jesus Christ. We got these things around necks. We got all kinds of decorations about these angels, protective angels and so forth, and have not one whit, one thought about the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. Again, over here in the book of Acts chapter 9. In the book of Acts chapter 9, we have some more that hear anything. Acts chapter 9, this is that passage of Scripture where we are made acquainted with Saul of Tarsus. He, in verse 1, he's Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. And we know the rest of the story. You could read it along, but let's drop down here verse 7. Verse 7 of this. And the men which journeyed. Now, what was said? Jesus spoke unto Saul and said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What did he say before that? Saul, Saul. He named him by name. Why persecutest thou me? What a lovely statement we have here with regard to the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for his church. And when it's persecuted, he's being persecuted. And then he told him who he is. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And in chapter 9 and verse 6, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And verse 7, and the men which journeyed with him. Now, he didn't go alone. This man doesn't do most of his dirty work. This man is traveling with a great host of people that he is the leader of, and they're in agreement with. And it says, the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Now, that is just what religion is expecting. Hear a voice and want to see something. That's why Christianity is so strange among what's in the world, because they pray, God's people pray to someone they've never physically seen. They pray to the God of heaven. They're directed by a Holy Spirit. They're not directed by some picture or some glass or some item, some stone. They're not directed by that. They're not led to that. So, hearing, they heard not. And what a blessing it is to hear And it is so blessed that the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, "My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice." Now, we read over there in the book of Zechariah that the prophets came and told him, "This is what you need to do. Turn." They couldn't turn. They're stuck in the mud. They can't turn. And then he says they would not hear and they would not hearken. They would not hear. Now, the words were out there. The prophet is not speaking in an unknown tongue to those folks, but it is, from a spiritual standpoint, it is virtually an unknown tongue. There is nothing comprehensible about it. It's no wonder that people are so tied up in their own righteousness, because that's the language that the natural man understands. It's no wonder that they're tied up in doing their own work, because that's the language that natural man comprehends and understands. And almost all the preachers that are preaching anything about the Bible are preaching about this work that you must do. You must step, because God's done all he can do. It's left up to us. It's left up to them. It's left up, and we find out when it comes to the spiritual things of the Word of God, we can't do one of them. We're absolutely in desperate need of help, and yet the Lord has promised that he will do all that is required in order to take care of the problem. Would you turn with me to the book of John chapter 8? John chapter 8, as we think about this subject of hearing, and what a blessing it is to hear, to have our ears unstopped. John chapter 8, verse 47. John chapter 8 and verse 47. John chapter 8 and verse 47, it says, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God." Now the Lord Jesus Christ is the only preacher that ever spoke to a congregation of people and knew those that were his that were yet lost, and those that were his that were found, and those who were never going to be his. He knew. We don't. We're called on to preach the gospel to every creature. Opportunities arise. We have the proper privilege of declaring the glory and riches of Christ's salvation in his perfect death upon the cross. His holy righteousness is what we need. And here the scriptures say, "He that is of God heareth God's words." It's not a problem. God gives hearing ears. He unlocks the ear that we're born with. It's an ear that only hears a language that is compatible to works, only hears a language that is compatible to our own self-righteousness. We can't get over. We can't get out of it. God has to give us hearing ears. He has to give us, unstop our ears. He has to create ears, in other words, so that we can hear the things that be of God. But he said, "He that is of God, he that's born again, that he that has God as his Father, and Jesus Christ as their Savior, heareth God's word." God's words. "But ye hear not, because ye are not of God." Now that could be said about almost all of those folks over there in the book of Zechariah, chapter 1 and verse 4. They did not hear, and they did not hearken, even though they were preached to by generations of folks. Going to go on and share with us there, where are the prophets? They're dead. Where are your fathers? They're dead. Well, it continues on to this day. The preaching of Christ and the preaching of the gospel continues on, and we pray that God would unstop ears, give ears to hear. In the book of John chapter 7, excuse me, book of Luke chapter 7, in the book of Luke chapter 7, we have this mention about a message to take to John the Baptist, who is in prison at this very time. It wouldn't be very long, and John would be taken, his life would be taken from him at the right time, according to the purpose of God, the purpose of grace. He would fulfill in his death the way that God would receive glory in anybody dying. He does. He's going to receive glory in the death of his saints. And it says here, Jesus answering those investigators, those that John sent. They're sincere. And John is in prison, and Jesus said, take him this message. Take him this message. By it, he'll know. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. Now these some of the things. How that the blind see. How the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. To the poor the gospel is preached. Now every one of those things can be taken from a spiritual sense too. And that's where we're going to say. This is spiritual, that the Lord Jesus has done all of these things. How the blind see. How the Lord gives us eyes to see. To see the glory of God. To see the glory of Christ. To see the glory of the cross. To see the glory of our sins being put away. And it's a glorious salvation that he allows us to see. And it tells us here, the lame walk. We're all bent over because of the fall. We were once upright, but no longer are we. And we're able to rise up, to walk. The lepers are cleansed. What leprosy is so often termed and spoken of as a picture of sin. And lepers are cleansed. Sinners are cleansed. The deaf hear. We are finally able to hear the glories of the gospel. We're our ears. We have new ears. We have spiritual ears granted to us. Now, there's so much about the Bible that even those who have spent their lifetime studying it will honestly, they'll say, I know very little about this word. It is so deep. We had a dear brother in our congregation that teaches the Bible class, and in this last Sunday in his Bible class, he says, launch out into the deep, and it is deep. And the more we go out, the more we will see. The more the Lord opens to our eyes, the more we'll see. But we've got to have eyes given to us to see. We have to have ears given to us to hear. We have to have legs given to us to serve him and walk towards him. And, I used to hear, he only has, his only legs are our legs and his only hands are our hands. Isn't that foolishness? That is just absolute foolishness. God works a new life into dead people. Here it says, right there, the dead are raised. To the poor the gospel is preached. Tell John these things. And as he spoke these things, he's also telling everyone that is going to have the privilege of reading these words. These folks that Jesus Christ is dealing with, we get the benefit of hearing about, and we also get the benefit of participating in that, his blessings to us. In the book of John chapter 5, it says here, John chapter 5 and verse 25, this is us again, here we are, the hour is coming. Verily I say unto thee, John chapter 5 verse 25, verily, verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now, there's such a blessing that God has for us when he goes through this world as the preacher preaches the gospel. As we hear the glorious gospel, the truth of the cross, the truth of salvation, the truth of God, the truth about sin, the truth about salvation, the truth of the blood, the truth of all the Word of God. God uses a preacher to present that to us, and we walk away unhearing. If we really were able to hear, we'd flee to him, but we're just deaf. It's just words, and there's just no doubt. We looked at it and said, there's just not enough works in that. This can't be right. I've got to be doing something. Well, when the Lord does what he said he does here, when he goes through, says, the hour's coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Now, there's a demonstration in the scriptures about Lazarus, and we make reference to him often. But Lazarus just is a demonstration of God raising a physical person, a physically dead person to life. But we look at that from a spiritual context, and we find it takes the same power that Jesus exhibited in the creation of the heavens and the earth the same power that was going to be demonstrated in his own resurrection. It takes that same divine power to raise anybody from the spiritual dead, and it is God alone that can do it. The Lord of hosts is the only one that can do this, what is necessary. The hour is coming, and now is. And I'm thankful for those that hour that came when God, by his providence, permitted a preacher of the gospel to come to where I lived and preach the gospel, and I heard it, and I was upset about it, but in the end, God did his work. The hour came, and now was, when he raised a dead person, spiritually speaking, to life. The gospel call. God used it in a miraculous way, and just as it says here, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall live. Now, that's a miracle. Dead people hearing. And yet, God tells us in his word that that is the business of God, to take dead people and cause them to hear. That's his business. He's dealing with dead people, dead in trespasses and sin. And verse 28 of that same chapter, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear the voice. Hear his voice. There's going to be a host that no man can number, but they'll all hear. Now we can apply that to this life as we go through it, and God is saving all of his elect out of every nation, country, people, and tongue. And we also see that at the end time, when all the last saved, the last elect is saved, there's going to be a resurrection, and all will hear that voice, and all be brought out of the graves. But what a marvel. Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear. God is not going to lose one of his people to this death that we have in the flesh. The death that we were brought upon us in our father Adam. This death. He is going to be superior to that death and raise his people from the spiritual dead. Over in the book of Mark, there's an interesting passage of scripture here about the fame of the Lord Jesus when they heard that he was around. The fame of the Savior. It tells us that he had gone across on a ship. Verse 54 of the 6th chapter of Mark. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and they ran through that whole region round about. These that had observed the Lord coming off of that ship, they'd been watching that ship crossing that sea, and they, as they watched it, they saw him come off the ship, and they straightway, when they recognized him, they ran through the whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. My goodness. We hear people say, I heard this for years. My dad was a Bible class teacher, didn't know a thing about the gospel. We'd go home after church and listen to a fellow by the name of Graham, and oh, he lauded him, praised him, talked about him. He preaches the good gospel and so forth, and that man didn't know a thing about the gospel. And he would tell anybody that made some profession of faith, go to the church of your choice. Now that's evidence that he didn't know a thing about the gospel, because if you know something about the gospel, you're going to go and you're going to send people to where he is. They brought the sick where they heard he was. The only place we can send those that are deaf is to where he is. The only place we can send people to those that are blind is to where he is, where the gospel is being preached. It doesn't do any good to send them anywhere else. No counseling session, no active prayer, nothing can help them out. We must take them where he is, where the gospel is being preached. Now, we don't understand all the ways of God, do we? My goodness, we just can't comprehend how God would take somebody that is dead in trespasses and sin, they hear the gospel, and by the Spirit of God would reveal Christ to them in a new life. I don't understand it, but I'm going to preach it. God is gracious to us to have hearing ears. God is gracious to us that He would bless us with the ability to hear His word. We don't have that comprehension by nature. We're born deaf, and we'll never get that fixed. There's no hearing aids that will fix that problem. It isn't the matter of hearing the physical words. If it was that, all we'd have to do is define the words as they're defined in the dictionary or a concordance, and people would flock to it because that would be right. But you know that that doesn't happen. It takes the grace of God, takes the mercy of God, takes the revelation of Jesus Christ. Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Well, as we come to the close of our study tonight on the book of Zechariah, this series, as we go through, we find that the Lord shares with us through the prophet Zechariah, "Turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings, but they did not hear nor hearken unto me, saith Jehovah." Now that's who they didn't hear, and that's who they didn't hearken to. It wasn't just that prophet that was preaching. It was they didn't hear God. They didn't hear Jehovah. Why? They had no ears to hear. They had no eyes to see. That must be given to us. We must be given the eyes and the ears and the mind that God gives in the resurrection, our resurrection, so that we'll be able to hear God. If we don't hear God, we're none of His. Well, bless you tonight as we think about these things, and we look forward to the next time we can be together. Thank you.